St. John's Cathedral, once the nation's oldest cathedral parish, sits empty today, a forlorn symbol of what it once was. The Gothic and classical structure with a leaky roof and structural damage was closed for lack of money 3 years ago, proof that a storied history doesn't always pay the bills. Now, Bishop Nicholas Nicely, leader of Rhode Island's Episcopalians, wants to reopen the building as a center for reconciliation, a museum, worship center, and classroom of sorts for the study of Rhode Island's role in the era of slavery. There is truth to that old mordant line about Rhode Island, that only the best families can trace their lineage all the way back to a rum runner or a slave trader. Some of those slave traders were Episcopalians, others were Christians and Jews, representatives of just about every sect in the diverse colony that was Rhode Island, except the Quakers, profited from the slave trade. While the state's economy was never as yoked to slavery as was the American South, the early American slave trade was largely Rhode Island's. Ships owned by Rhode Island merchants carried more than 60% of the American trade in African slaves, according to the notorious Triangle by historian Jay Kutry. This risky and highly profitable trade in human beings helped fuel some of our state's earliest fortunes, notably the Brown family of Providence, which endowed the Ivy League University, and the DeWolf family of Bristol, which built the marble Linden Place mansion near the same harbor that launched many of the slave ships. In Providence, St. John's Cathedral was shuttered before Nicely became bishop. So Nicely's been working with Episcopalians around the state, the African-American community, Brown Center for the Study of Slavery and Justice, and Rhode Island's congressional delegation to fashion a new role for the old cathedral. Some of the inspiration for a slavery center comes from the movie Traces of the Trade, a documentary by descendants of the DeWolf family who were Episcopalians. The film follows 10 DeWolf descendants of varying ages as they retrace the triangle trade from Bristol to the coast of Ghana and the ruins of a family plantation in Cuba. It looks at such questions as who owes what for the original sin of America and what kind of history do we inherit? Rhode Island's role in the slave trade is a complex subject. It split families. The Browns were a prime example. The four Brown brothers, John, Nicholas, Moses, and Joseph, engaged in one disastrous slaving expedition in November of 1764 on the brig Sally. The trip lost money and lives, and Moses, Joseph, and Nicholas were never again involved in slaving. But John continued in the trade and defended it until he died in 1803, just 5 years before the British Navy shut down the international slave trade. While John ran slave ships, Moses Brown converted to Quakerism and became a leading abolitionist who freed all of his own slaves. The Civil War would eventually end slavery in the 1860s. Nicely says the war changed the way Christians interpret the Bible from a literal reading of slavery to a more allegorical and symbolic understanding. Besides the political, economic, and spiritual exploration of slavery, Nicely's vision for a museum and center for teaching and worship could lead to another historic tourism opportunity for Providence, which boasts many such sites, including John Brown's mansion just a few blocks from the empty cathedral. Across the street, the Roger Williams Memorial Park celebrates the legacy of religious tolerance dating back to Providence's first white settler. It's also a short walk to the majestic State House, which teems with visitors year-round. Rhode Islanders love to complain, as if it is embedded in our DNA as deeply as Narragansett Bay. But on this project, the lone question should be, why has it taken so long?